The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide with you all. Amen. Our text for our sermon this evening is recorded in Luke 23, verses 6 to 12. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked if the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. Now when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he had desired for a long time to see him, because he had heard many things about him, and he hoped to see some miracle done by him. Then he questioned him with many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. Then Herod, with his men of war, treated him with contempt and mocked him, arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him back to Pilate. That very day, Pilate and Herod became friends with each other, for previously they had been at enmity with each other. So far the text. Christ Jesus, our blessed Savior, your fellow redeemed in him. There was once a little boy who went for a visit to his grandma's house, and during morning breakfast he noticed there was a plaque that his grandma had hanging up on the kitchen wall. It had four words inscribed on it, which he spelled out slowly and read out loud: "Thou God seest me." The inquisitive lad then asked his grandma, pointing up at the plaque, "What does that mean?" "My dear boy," she replied, "thou God seest me means that Jesus loves you so much that he can't take his eyes off of you." This evening, in our concluding series, of Lent meditations under the theme Ironies of Jesus' Passion, we want to consider why we're able to rejoice and find comfort in the Lord seeing us. You probably know the Bible verse, "We love him because he first loved us." It's also true, we can see him by faith because he first saw us in love and determined to bring us into his eternal family. This in a world where many people, they would like to see God or see Jesus, but they can't, at least not for who he really is, because they're oblivious to wherein his glory truly consists. The man we hear about in our text who wanted to see Jesus very badly is Herod. This was the Herod who was the son of Herod the Great, who ruled in Israel at the time of Jesus' birth, the Herod who enlisted the wise men to try to find the baby Jesus and who tried to kill him by slaughtering all the infant boys at Bethlehem. This Herod was Herod Antipas. He was the one who was responsible for the death of John the Baptist. He was Tetrarch of Galilee, which means that he governed the territory up to the north of Judea where Nazareth was located, and Capernaum, the city that Jesus made his home base after he had been thrown out of Nazareth and where he had done a lot of his ministry and miracles. So it isn't surprising that word had reached Herod Antipas's ears about Jesus. The people of his realm were buzzing all about him. Oh, he fed a huge crowd with a scant amount of food on the eastern shore of Lake Galilee. He changed water into fine-tasting vintage wine at Cana of Galilee at a wedding. He performed miracles up in Capernaum, like healing a centurion's paralyzed servant, a royal official's deathly sick son from a distance, another paralyzed man that was let down through a roof in front of Jesus on a stretcher. And so when Governor Pilate showed Herod this professional courtesy of having the renowned miracle worker from Nazareth escorted into his very presence during a visit to Jerusalem, he was tickled pink. Now I finally get to see the man I've heard so much about. I can have him provide me and my entourage with some entertainment. Maybe we can have him perform some magic acts, cause a meal to appear out of nowhere, a table rise in the air, or pull a rabbit out of a hat. It'll make for great fun. But Herod's elation over seeing Jesus was soon changed to scorn, for when Jesus did not go along with his worldly-minded wishes, not even uttering a word, he was more than a little bit perturbed. So he decided, did Herod, to transform the opportunity he thought he'd have for having fun into an opportunity to make fun of Jesus. And as his enemies stood there shouting their accusations, Herod's soldiers then made sport of him by dressing him up in a colorful robe, heaping ridicule upon Jesus' kingship claims, very likely also made a point of paying him full homage by saluting him and kneeling down in front of him like Pilate's soldiers would do later on. Herod Antipas, he's an example of a person who wanted to see Jesus, but only on his terms. As somebody who could satisfy his entertainment needs. His heart was blinded by unbelief so that he couldn't see Jesus for who he really is. The truth that Jesus is our heavenly King, come from heaven to atone for our sins and bring us life to the full, that wasn't even a blip on the radar of Herod's heart. Could not comprehend he even needed such a king. We see the same class of people, don't we, in our world today. Many still would like to see Jesus, but on their own terms. They don't want a Savior who reveals to them their lost, sinful condition, who calls them to repentance and faith in Him, and whose glory consists in His coming here as their Redeemer to take their sins away. The gospel message of a loving God who made His Son who knew no sin to be sin for them, that they might be dressed in a gorgeous robe of His holiness, can't appreciate. May even want to be part of a church, be a member of a church, where they can come to not to be instructed in God's Word, but to be amused, where the preacher will wow them with polished oratory, interesting stories and words of human wisdom, but the simple message of John 3:16 just doesn't appeal to them. They view that as boring and not relevant to day-to-day living. Friends, aren't we also subject to this temptation of taking for granted this simple message of Christ crucified because we've heard it before? How many Lenten services have we been to in our lives? Perhaps growing up learning about it from little on and maybe not to delight in it as we ought to, as the Savior bids us do for our heart's comfort. Maybe sometimes hankering for something new and exciting by worldly standards. May the Lord protect us from that temptation and forgive any weaknesses that we may have exhibited in that regard. And to again emphasize the greatness and the sweetness of that simple gospel message, John 3:16. Just think how by nature, apart from the Holy Spirit's work of gifting us with eyes of faith, we could not see Jesus for who He really is. Couldn't look forward, certainly, to see Him in person in heaven. Remember what God told Moses on Mount Sinai when he requested to have God show him His glory, what the Lord said? He said, Moses, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. No sinful man. And remember Isaiah's reaction when the Lord granted him that spectacular vision of His majesty in the throne room of heaven. He cried out in sheer panic, woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a sinful man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have actually seen the Holy King, the Lord of glory. So yeah, left to ourselves, as we were by nature, we could not see Jesus. Not now by faith, not ever in person. But praise be to the Lord, we can see Jesus now by faith. That's why we're here this evening. Thanks to God's gracious work of enlightening us by the gospel. We love to behold his love in action, his mercy for us undeserving sinners, painted for us in such beautiful colors in the Passion history, loving us as his own, we who are in the world, even to the very end. We love to see him, and we do see him by eyes of faith, as the great I am, in whom dwells all the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form, as the one Zechariah prophesied about, whom we'll hear about this coming Sunday, on Palm Sunday, would come to his people meek, lowly, riding on a donkey to offer his life a ransom, would manifest his true greatness by being wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, by performing his miracle cure upon our sin-sick souls and making us spiritually whole and healthy as you are now. That's why you love to sing, "Let me see my Savior's face. Let me all his beauties trace. Show those glorious truths to me, Lord, which are only known to thee." And with aged Simeon, "Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." And yes, our eyes shall see him in person too on the last day. Everyone will see him, including the unbelieving Herods of the world, to their eternal sorrow. But we, not to our panic, to our sheer delight. And then we'll know just how blessed we are to be able to know and to say, "Even now, thou, God, seest me." Amen. Let's continue now by singing together the hymn as printed in your bulletin.
And my glory and salvation.